At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's a Friday night and you've got Glenn and Jack. It's time for the SmackDown Wrestling Inc. after show, and we got a show for you. We got Carmelo Hayes and Andrade 4. We've got KO with Careless Whispers, and we also got Bayley returning to action. Glenn,
yeah,
to kick things off, I'm gonna talk about something from behind the scenes. I'm gonna pull that curtain a little bit. You are not a fan of the 30-second countdown video. I am. I know you don't like it because the audio listeners, they just get this weird music at the beginning. It doesn't make sense. People watching later, they don't need it. But I think about the people who are here live today, and I want them to have a nice warm-up before the show starts.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think we got to hash this out in front of all the people joining us. And I also, in the chat, I want your thoughts. What do you think about our 30-second countdown? A lot better than the silent one we used to have.
Oh, yeah. So you know what it is, Jack? You and I are two different podcast archetypes. Like, you are more the radio broadcast variety. Look at you, handsome with the hair and a smile, ready to entertain, so professional, smooth, and keeping it going at all times. I am more the podcast archetype. If my mom had a basement, I'd be broadcasting out of it. You know, I would always look on my best days like I just rolled out of bed. And I am clearly here, you know, just to crack wise and spout my viewpoints in a semi-polished fashion. And together, perhaps you might argue, that's why we make magic, Jack.
Yeah, well, maybe that's what it is. I don't know if that was a backhanded statement, though. You're like, hey, you're the perfect radio guy, the way you look.
You are a broadcaster. I am a pundit. People always say, you know, Glenn, are you a journalist? Oh, no. It's like in the Loveline days, Dr. Drew was the medical expert. Adam Carolla was just there to crack wise and provide the sugar to help the medicine go down. I'm much the same. I'm not a journalist.
Please don't call me an expert on anything, because we
are the Dr. Drew of Wrestling Inc. is what I'm saying.
If I'm the Dr. Drew, then this is a very bad show to be on. But Kerry Johnson says, Glenn sounds different. Yeah, it sounds like there's something with your microphone.
Oh, I know what it is, maybe. No, this is my broadcast stream mix. Now I'm concerned.
It sounded a little bit high-pitched. Like it's.
I know what it is.
No. Okay, that was weird.
There we go. Back.
For some reason, my effects pedal. So, Jack, when you said earlier, like, Glenn, there's something wrong with your voice. For some reason, my effects was not lit up, but it was still doing the effect. So it was talking like I don't even know what it was.
Well, I think you should have that scary Dracula sound with everything you say.
I
mentioned something earlier before we started, but then you said it was fine. I was like, oh, so again, this is something no one cares about, but I've had a lot of issues lately with my internet where everyone else will be looking like they're lagging, but everyone says it's fine. And so I was like, okay, well, maybe it's just weird on my side. I'm just going to get through it. But Kerry Johnson, saving the show.
Thank you.
Saying something.
Yeah.
So,
was not hearing it at first. Because what I do, let's give people the full behind-the-scenes tour. My mixer automatically defaults to a preview mode. So whenever I get on, I hear myself. And the first thing I do is shut that off. It's like, I hear sound, my mic's working, I shut it off.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, hey, this is how we do it. So we do the wrestling. We just freewheel for a little bit, and then we get it right at the end of the day, though. But let us know what you think about that countdown at the beginning, because I'm happy to take it away if people don't like it.
I think people love the countdown, Jim.
Zordon, what are you doing here? You gotta keep that. How is anyone gonna disagree with you, Glenn, when you come in with that effect on?
Yeah. Glenn Rubenstein reporting live from Germany tonight, the site of SmackDown. Sasha Berlin's tomorrow.
We got a lot of stuff, a lot of folks here already to chat about, but we got some news we gotta chat about. Speaking of being a professional here, I got to plug the weekend shows this week.
That's right.
Pay-per-views and PLEs. Well, just PLEs this time around. We got Bash in Berlin tomorrow. Flobo Boyce and I are going to hop on the call here, and we're going to be chatting all about what happens at Bash in Berlin. Also, at the end of the show, I'm going to pick Glenn's brain about what he's looking forward to about Bash in Berlin. But then also, Flobo Boyce and George Hermosa are going to be covering No Mercy.
Did I get booted?
Or is it you? I thought it said... Oh, it's Glenn. I'm so sorry. Why do you think George Hermosa? You know what? You said I was the professional one. I was the doctor here. And now it's just stumble and fall.
I know. I set you up. Sunday, me and Flobo talking about NXT No Mercy.
Yeah. So at the end of the show as well, you're going to pick my brain about what I'm looking forward to on that show. And that's how we're going to end the show. I think we both did our prediction shows. I don't think we need to go through a whole other prediction show. We can just kind of talk about what we're looking forward to.
Is there anything in the news? Because I got some thoughts tonight.
I got some news. Well, there's a really big one. Not a really. Well, there's a big one. And then there's a littler one I think we'll be quick about. We'll start with the littler one. Nikki Cross has apparently signed a new multi-year deal that comes after months of negotiations that began in the spring. I love it when wrestlers sign new big contracts. I think, by the way, I almost called her Nikki Six because she's part of the Wyatt Six. I was like, anyways.
Solid wrestler name.
Too bad. I wonder if anyone's used that before. Great news for Nikki Cross. Do you think kind of a bold move to sign her to a longer term contract when she's just starting a new character though? Right. I mean, I'm
glad she's been with the company for like eight years now, something like that.
Sneaky. NXT makes wrestlers time in the company way longer than you ever think, because even like, we'll talk about Carmelo Hayes later tonight. Now that he's on SmackDown, I'm like, oh yeah, he's this new guy that's been here for a few months, even though I followed and covered him on NXT for years. You know what I mean? And so, Nikki, you forget. Yeah, she was in NXT for a long time.
Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens there for over a decade now.
Ah, so weird to say because I still think of them as new guys. It's so weird.
Here's the weirder thing is when people are like, The Shield debuted 13 years ago today or whatever. It's like, that's when it's just like, okay, guys, we're good. Like,
I think it was Sean Ross Sapp posted that we are farther away from when The Shield debuted than when The Shield debuted was from the end of WCW. So if that makes sense, WCW ending to The Shield debuting was less time than we are from The Shield debuting to today.
Yes.
It's just crazy to me because I feel like The Shield debuted so far after the death of WCW. It's weird, but happy to hear about Nikki Cross. This is the thing I think we're probably going to talk a little bit more about, because I don't really know what else we can say than good for her. I mean, absolutely, she's great. She's great. But what are we supposed to do? Be like, I don't know about this one. But we got some news on the Vince McMahon documentary. First thing, apparently WWE has zero production credits on this, according to Brandon Thurston of WrestleNomics and Post Wrestling, and said that despite that, there will be some close involvement of WWE. Yesterday's announcement about the premiere date revealed that the series will include interviews from McMahon, his family, and professional wrestlers. It's not known which WWE stars, if any, are featured in Mr. McMahon. Also, according to Dave Meltzer in the Wrestling Observer, McMahon was interviewed multiple times and was the most intriguing of anyone interviewed. The former CEO mentioned to those making the series that he wanted an honest portrayal. It was also cited that those involved said that there was, quote, no pressure on what they could and couldn't do. So this documentary is very interesting, and obvious reasons why it's interesting. What are your thoughts and takeaways on the fact that they are releasing this documentary? I'll open rein. What do you think? What are you doing?
It's tough because the unfortunate thing for what I think a lot of people are going to want him asked about, is his answer is going to be due to pending legal matters. I can't answer them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to color a lot of this documentary. And I think that, you know, if this had been done after those court cases had been completed, after justice was deemed served, I think it would be easier to do something that's more conclusive in retrospect, whereas now there's going to be a lot of allegedlies. But look, I mean, this is, you know, Vince McMahon is no stranger to controversy, but this is like, obviously, I mean, look, this, would you have thought a year ago that anything could ever happen where Vince McMahon would have zero to do with WWE? That's right. How big this controversy was. This is how the gravity of these allegations. So, and with that in mind, I don't know people are clamoring for this.
Yeah, everyone in the chat, let me know what your thoughts are of the documentary. I'm torn. This is actually one of the ones I'm actually most interested in seeing how it plays out, but I also don't think I'm going to be happy with it. And here's why. I'm interested to see how it goes and what they plan on showing, but I don't know if I'm going to be happy either way, because with what we know, it's going to be hard to watch a documentary that's like, you know, and Vince McMahon, when he was 25, you know, did this, yeah. Like, because that's not the thing that's all on all of our minds right now. That's not what we're thinking about. At the same time, I'm not like a true crime podcast guy necessarily. I just don't want to like listen to stuff that's going on with the court case either. So either way it goes, I just don't know if I'm going to be happy with it. But I'm fascinated to see what they do and how they portray, if that makes sense.
It's a very delicate balance. And I think that, like, I don't know. I'm sure I will end up watching it. But I also feel like it's not the time. Oh, yeah, and it's true. Beer Money just had a really good point. And Netflix has Raw incoming. So, right. You know, if the documentary really gets into the dirt, even beyond the trial, if it really gets in the dirt, it's kind of weird to be like, and WWE Raw coming to Netflix in January.
I thought about that too, because they say that WWE isn't connected to this. So maybe anything's on the table, but at the same time, it is going to Netflix. But that said, if they paint the picture of Vince was this horrible person that is now out, and now look at how great the company is, that could also sell.
Is kind of glossing. I mean, like, that's, you know, also not fair, because there's a system that enabled, I don't know. It's a very complicated issue. Not one we're going to solve here, but I'm sure we're all going to watch it. I'm sure there'll be headlines. I'm sure there will be things that are revealed. There will be quotes that add new context. There'll be stuff that's, you know, I'm sure will be taken out of context. And I'm sure everyone will be obsessed with it for like a week.
Well, that's why I don't think I'm going to be happy with it, no matter what it is. And I probably will watch it. But yeah, because you're right. I don't think there's anything they can do where I'll be like, yeah, I enjoyed this, watching this, you know?
Yeah, very insightful. One's going to be at the end like, that Vince McMahon. This is not going to be the Monday Night Wars documentary.
And that said, though, we should think about, as you look at like the Monday Night Wars or like the What Killed WCW, things like that, probably going to be a lot of us saying, well, they didn't cover this, or they didn't talk about that, or this wasn't brought up. And I will say one thing that they knocked out of the park though was the graphic design of the cover. That is a very cool logo. Have you seen it? It looks, I'll be honest, that's great graphic design though. Let's give them their due. That looks really cool. Him pulling the strings of
Silver Lining Jack Farmer can really find.
Yeah.
What else is in the news?
Oh, that's actually Danny Cochran says, I don't know if you saw the poster for it, but they have Vince Puppet in a boxing ring.
I didn't see it.
So that's how you know WWE wasn't involved, is the ring has four sets of ropes instead of three. We'll have to see what goes on, but that's really all the news of the day today that we're going to talk about. Let's get into a show here, a go-home show in Berlin.
Pre-taped earlier today.
I know. I saw a bunch of people talk about earlier today. I actually had a little panic attack. I was like, wait a minute. Are we covering the show like in an hour? Are we supposed to be doing this right now? Because I started talking about it, and I was like, okay, good. We're not doing it until our normal time. But I want to give a shout-out to everyone in the chat and joining us today. Kerry Johnson, Danny Cochran, Alicia A., Chad W., Andy Hannigan, Adonde, Jose, Kevin, and I don't know how to say it. How do you pronounce this name, Glenn? Jer, that's not a nice name, Jer. I hope that's not true.
Hope you're okay, Jer.
Brianne, Mark, Made by Dawn, Chris Bricks, Ricky Zaldivar, Christopher Suarez, always shouting out Undertaker, Kane, Triple H, HBK, Kevin Nash, and sometimes AJ Styles. I don't know why Christopher is always shouting these people out. And I asked directly on our last show, what's up with these guys? Never got an answer, Chris. Chris, let us know. Jay Willie in the house. And by the way, Dylan Matthews going by the new name, Real DM Hunk. Love it. Jane Young and Mike Martin, of course, coming through the chat as well. By the way, DM Hunk says we're the Kangle Farmers. That's our
there
team
you go. Solid. You know, like, here's my gripe about the pre-tape nature of tonight. Mm-hmm. It was in the main event when Tiffany Stratton came out. I was like, well, if she'd cashed in, I would have heard about it.
Yes.
That was where I was just like, there is now no suspense at all.
I wanted to say this for the end, but let's just talk about it now. Something about WWE over the past few years, and I don't know how to articulate this well, so cut me some slack if I don't put this in the right way, but there's a lot of great stuff in WWE right now, but I think some of the thing that we're not talking about here is they have found a way to make mundane stuff or predictable stuff or stuff that we typically would have been like, oh, this is so boring, still really entertaining. Tonight, as we go through this, kind of predictable, kind of mundane, nothing really splashy except for like a return that we'll talk about in a little bit, but it was still entertaining. It was still an entertaining show. I don't know what they're doing or why that is, but I gotta give their flowers. WWE has found a way to make shows that otherwise, I think if this was a few years ago, even crazy booking aside, we would have been like, oh, this is just horrible. But today, this is fun.
Well, yeah, I think the main event tonight was great on many levels. The promo with KO and Cody was awkward as can be, but kind of worked.
Yeah.
I don't feel like there was a lot else that was critical tonight. It wasn't bad, but I'm very much looking forward to see what happens at Bash in Berlin tomorrow and at No Mercy on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit about what went down. We start LA Knight with Ludwig Kaiser. First, LA Knight says that even though it's the U.S. championship, he's going to defend it in Berlin. Kaiser has some words for LA Knight. They have a match. LA Knight gets the win. This was, again, I think on paper, I'd say, well, Ludwig Kaiser always loses. LA Knight just got this title. He ain't losing it right now. Pretty straightforward, but I still had a lot of fun watching it. Talk to me about it.
I thought it was good. Can I just say that I was not familiar with that LA Knight shirt, and so having part of it covered up wasn't great. Because I was like, is that? No. And I was like, oh, I lack people skills. But when you cover the I,
yeah,
and the L looks like it's covered, and the S is covered, I was like, what is this?
but did it make you want to buy one?
I felt like I was doing Wheel of Fortune. And then I figured it out finally, because I was just like, well, this is insane. And I was like, oh, no. People. Like, it's just a little weird. Look, LA Knight very over, but Germany wanted to see Ludwig get that win.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. Do you think that this was a risky booking decision from WWE? Because, yeah, the crowd loved Kaiser. They wanted to see him win, obviously. Do you think it's risky to have someone who's one of your top lovable people in a match where the crowd is going to want the other guy to win?
I think people want to see LA Knight still. You know, and look, I mean, Sami Zayn fans, we went like a decade wanting our guy to win, believing tonight could be the night, and it didn't happen. So I think Ludwig Kaiser fans can suffer this loss.
Do you still think Sami Zayn is going to win the big one?
I hope so. I thought Montreal would have been the time to do it against Roman.
Do you consider Monday's title the big one?
That's tough. Yeah, we'll see what happens post Netflix.
Yeah, because right now I cover Raw. I love Raw. I love the title. I love what they're doing over there. But when I think of the big one, still Cody's title. There's still something different about that one. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farm with the Wrestling Podcast. And a few years back, WWE sold a New Day themed kit where people could make unicorn horn shaped popsicles. They don't make them anymore, but you can still make your own popsicles even without the kit and get top tier hydration in the process. In these post SummerSlam dog days, Liquid IV is offering refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet to keep you cool and give you 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. Liquid IV is always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It's great for a road trip to No Mercy or watching All In at home. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
One of my favorite things about this matchup, and something I think is just really cool, and something that, you know, maybe I'm a wrestling nerd, but Wade Barrett giving a shout out to Alex Wright, a.k.a. Berlin and WCW. Wade Barrett is a treasure on commentary, Glenn. We don't get to talk much about SmackDown. I'm such a Wade Barrett fan.
You don't think that Booker is the best commentator in all of WWE right now?
Yeah.
No, Wade is very good. I like Wade.
It's funny. I feel like, technically speaking, Booker T is not the best commentator.
Technically speaking.
But he is absolutely the soundtrack of NXT. If you changed him with someone who was, technically speaking, like a great commentator, it would be it wouldn't be terrible, but it'd be a totally different show if you put on Wade Barrett. You know what I mean?
I miss Moro. I think Moro was...
He's my absolute favorite.
Yeah, Moro's best. No, I think Booker's good. I just think that and it has nothing to do with his style, actually. I like his style quite a bit. I just feel that substance-wise sometimes, like, he feels like he needs to talk even if he doesn't necessarily have something to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all. Yeah, I don't feel like he's the most informed on the current NXT. Like, I don't, which is funny because he's there every week, but I don't feel like he's necessarily paying that close of attention.
I will say, you know, the people he really likes and the people he doesn't.
Yes.
That's, like you can absolutely tell, like, when he actually cares about a wrestler.
But no, like Carmelo, like, even if he stops or Trick Williams, you know, even if Trick joins Carmelo in the main roster, like Booker, he should just record like the chant along for that, you know.
It should be baked into a song already.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, but I thought Wade Barrett did a very good job tonight. It was nice to hear him.
I want to hear your thoughts on Baron Corbin and Apollo Crews and their match with Los Garza. Los Garza gets the win, but A-Town Down Under later gives Corbin and Crews a hard time, and Theory is sick of being the butt of the joke. They've been teasing that there are issues with A-Town Down Under for a while now, but after what Theory said, I feel like that team is on the cusp of breaking up right now. Am I right? Or do you think that they plan on dragging this out for a while?
I mean, good one-on-one feud when it happens.
Yeah.
I like them a lot together, but I think that it's tough though, because here's what's funny about it is they get the comedy slot a lot, which mm-hmm. is interesting, because normally the comedy slot is for, wrestlers that they don't see singles potential in, but I do think they see, like, or they don't see potential serious competitors. And I do think they see that in both of them. So it's actually interesting. You know, I think, you know, who's really hoping for them to break up? Pretty Deadly. Because Pretty Deadly would love that comedy slot on a more, yeah. on a, you know, on a bigger, more consistent basis. But I do think it will open them up to more diverse and interesting possibilities. If they can still have personality, but be separated and not just like, oh, here are these two D-bags again, you know?
It is interesting that they put A-Town Down Under and Pretty Deadly on the same show.
Yes.
Because they'd be able to get, they're very different, but you're right. That comedy spot as a tag team, to have them on different shows would probably give them more versatility. But I'm a believer in Austin Theory, by the way. I know a lot of people talk about Grayson Waller. Grayson Waller's a star, by the way. I'm a huge fan of him. But I think if they do this right and they get some sympathy for Austin Theory, I think Austin Theory as a good guy could be something special. I've always thought, I've never bought into him as a bad guy. I feel like I can tell he's a nice guy. I can tell he's pretending.
You're like my grandmother. Like watching TV, that Clint Eastwood just seems like good people.
As I eat my hard candy.
I can just tell. And also, there's a nice boy.
Wait, as I eat my candy, that's like the watermelon. I feel like grandparents have. It's like wrapped in watermelon wrapping.
Those, you know what I'm talking about? I could go for one of those. I haven't had one of those in like 40 years.
And I'm not talking about, yeah, not like a watermelon Jolly Rancher.
No.
Red. Maybe it's a strawberry. Maybe it's not a watermelon, actually.
Oh, maybe it's a strawberry. Now I'm thinking that. Yeah, I know exactly the one you're talking about. You know what's weird? Do you ever think about that stuff when you're adult? Like, I was like, what is up with those jelly? Remember the jelly things that look like fruit that were like lime and orange and lemon, and they had the like sugar on them? And I was like,
yes.
What are those? So I tracked them down like at the start of the pandemic, and I was like, I'm going to order a bunch of those. Because it's like,
right,
that should be a shop at the mall or an online store that's just food you ate at your grandparents' house that, like, you're not even sure. Does a regular supermarket sell that stuff?
It should be called that, too. Yes. Foods you ate at your grandparents' house.
Yes. Just stuff you can't find easily. You know, where's that section of the supermarket?
Yeah, where do grandparents shop? I feel like the clothes older people wear, I don't see those at the mall. Like, the pants old men wear, like, those aren't normal pants that old men wear. They're just like, they're old man pants that somehow people get. I don't know. I do want to ask you real quick. You got to buy or sell Baron Corbin and Apollo Crews as a team and Los Garza as a team.
Okay, so Los Lobos Locos, when they lean into that gimmick and let them transform into werewolves, I really think they're going to be on top of the tag team.
Yeah.
But that being said, Baron Corbin and Apollo, a lot of potential. A lot of potential with these guys. I just need to know more about who they are now, where their head is at. Now, when Baron wanted to burn the ships and then become a wolf dog, I understood that. When Baron was broke, I understood that. When he was a constable, I understood that. Where is he at now? In Apollo. He was a vigilante in Florida eating breakfast with Bron Breakker. Where's his head at? What's he doing? You know, like, I need to know a little more about their motivation. Why are they a team? You know, like, what's not what's the gimmick, but what's the storyline? What's the, you know, what's the motivation?
Well, what really worked for Braun and Corbin, which was a golden pairing, those two, was just seeing them interact backstage.
Yeah.
I would love for them to try that with Apollo and Corbin, just them hanging out, getting to know each other, and having maybe some things they don't agree on, things they do.
Yeah,
agree
I like
on.
A good odd couple pairing.
Yeah.
Love a good odd couple pairing.
Like, I would love Apollo Crews trying to get Baron Corbin to eat healthier or something.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, like, Baron's, like, making a steak, and Apollo's like, do you know what's in that? Do you know how your risk of cancer goes up the more red meat you consume? Like, you know what they need to be? They need to be a little, like, Tango and Cash.
Yeah. I think that, because I think both these guys have so much potential. Corbin, by the way, it's weird that Corbin is, I was thinking this as I was watching this, I feel like Corbin has more support than he's ever had from WWE fans right now, but I feel like he's farther away from the world title than he's ever been as well, because there was a time when it looked like he might be the guy to become a world champion there.
He beat Roman.
Yeah, the last guy to beat Roman for a long time.
Yeah, before Cody.
Before somebody. I can't remember. Something happened where he lost a match, right? but yes, let us know in the chat, by the way, what you guys are thinking about all the fun stuff in the tag team division. Solo Sikoa reminds us that he destroyed Jimmy, Paul Heyman, and Roman Reigns, then says he's coming for the winner of Owens versus Rhodes. How do you feel about Solo Sikoa, Glenn Rubenstein?
It's a little tough. I like Solo. Loved him in NXT. Think he should have got a shot at that main championship. He did have next and he never got his opportunity. But I think that we need to get more motivation on this, because the baby bloodline didn't set the world on fire. People so excited for Roman to come back as a face. I want more. Not, Solo being a little braggadocious. Oh, I did this. Like, Solo, tell me who you are. Tell me what you're doing. Tell me how, you know, as the little bro, you're always overlooked, you know, the older siblings, the older cousins, always getting all the good things. You get what's left, you know, like, got to fight for what's yours. Like, give me that motivation to understand why he needs his own bloodline and wants to take control.
It's tough because, man, I look at how much they've put behind Solo Sikoa. I mean, yeah, he took out his brother. He took out Paul Heyman, which is unheard of. He took out Roman Reigns, which is insane to think about. And I'm sat here going, he's doing okay. Like, I should be like, this guy is Thanos. This guy is Darth Vader. This guy's terrifying. He's done what no one could do, and he's done it to so many people. I feel like there should be a lot more heat behind Solo Sikoa.
Well, right, because there's this theory that it's like, oh, if you're in the main event picture enough, you become a main eventer. And I think they stretch that. It was too abrupt, you know, like Roman disappearing and Solo just stepping up. I mean, I hate to say it, like, if Roman would have shown up and Solo would have, like, sneak attacked him or something, and, like, beat Roman up, that would have been, they wouldn't have done that. But, like, Solo has not had the opportunity to establish his bona fides as the tribal chief.
Yeah, but, I mean, you're right. But at the same time, I mean, he's taken out so many people that...
Has he, though?
Putting Paul Heyman through a table is a pretty big deal.
Mm.
Putting Roman Reigns through a table is a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Like,
this is all him.
And as far as the personal thing of taking out, Jimmy's not the biggest name on the list as far as a lot of people have been able to take out Jimmy Uso in the past, but, you know, I feel like if you did this with somebody else, right? If we were talking about Grayson Waller did this to people, he'd be one of the most hated people in WWE.
I mean,
right
they
now.
Did that kind of in NXT.
Yeah. And I try to think if you did this with someone else, and I'm wondering why I don't feel like when he says that he wants next and he wants to face the winner, Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes, why I'm just like, no, not again.
Yeah. Cause you don't think he's going to win. Like there's no, he wears his ceiling, you know, like you just see what it is, right? Like they're like, oh, they want this to work. Okay. So he's not beating Cody. He's not even maybe if KO was the champ, maybe they let him beat KO. He's not beating Cody. And ultimately in this Roman feud, he ain't coming out victorious in that.
And that's the thing though. If Kevin Owens took out all these people and now he was getting a title shot against Cody, you'd be like, man, I don't know. Maybe Kevin Owens could do it.
But Kevin Owens has a decade on solo in WWE. Like he has the gravitas.
But he also,
you know, I talk about this a lot.
It's not been that big of a like past few years. He hasn't been.
No. He was hiding in a porta potty from Braun Strowman. Like KO has not always been booked the strongest. But if they decided,
I forgot about.
Yeah, if they decided though, if you've been with the WWE long and you've had victories at any point, it's like Randy Orton. I don't think anyone thinks Randy Orton's winning tomorrow, but Randy Orton is three good matches away from being a credible contender against anyone.
Well, Randy Orton's also an all-timer. I mean,
yeah, I know, but my point is though, it's that I think you need a decade and you need some big wins. You need some high. If you, the higher your highs, the more you can sustain the low.
You know, if LA Knight had taken out these three guys, I think we'd also say he might be the guy. He might win.
And I'd say, they're still going to find a way to screw him over.
Well, it's just because you're used to him getting screwed over and not taking out these.
No, and that's the thing. LA Knight had a credibility problem. I mean, when he finally beat Logan Paul, that was overdue. LA Knight was like 6 months past when he should have won that time.
But that's because he should have been winning, though. I mean,
yeah,
Solo's winning, like, or at least he's putting people away where KO or where LA Knight was struggling in that department.
Well,
if
and
Uncle Howdy took out all these people.
Well, the other thing Solo is lacking is Solo does not have the audience on his side.
He's not supposed to.
But he also doesn't get heat. The heat he gets, though, is because he's not Roman. You know what I mean? So I'm saying it's like he's not. But like I say this all the time. Gravitas. Gravitas is. And what I mean by that is presence, meaning where the audience looks at you and they have a very strong reaction to you.
Right.
And if they just are like Dominic Mysterio, good example. Audience legitimately hates that man.
Right.
Solo, they're like, we want Roman. They're just trolling him. That's not hatred. That's like just kind of like dissatisfaction. Hate, you enjoy hating someone. Solo, they are dissatisfied that he is there in Roman.
A great example of this, because sometimes when we talk about wrestling, I think we get it in our heads a little bit about it. But a good example of that I always think about in comedy world is Will Ferrell, like where he could just walk on the screen and I'm already like, I'm ready to laugh. This guy's funny to me.
Yeah.
And there are those people who I guess in outside of wrestling where we don't get in our head about like, but what about the merch they're selling and how they're pushed or whatever. You know, Will Ferrell's one of those guys. He walks out here. I get it. I want to laugh. This guy's funny to me. He could do nothing. I don't know if Will Ferrell could deliver serious news to me. And not like, even if
he's
like,
made some serious films that were not comedy.
And but, I laughed through all of
them. But let me give you a good example from the world of movies and television is that a good villain is one that the audience believes, like that they have a point of view, they have a plan. Like Hans Gruber, you don't want to see Hans Gruber win, but you kind of go, oh man, but he's got a dastardly plan, you know, to do this terrorist attack to make it seem, you know, it's a robbery, but it seems like a terrorist attack. Like it's like Marvel has this problem. Marvel's got a handful of really good villains, and then they got a lot where it's just like, okay, I guess I hate this guy because he wants to kill Thor. Like he's a frost giant, sure. But you're not like, oh my God, I'm
frost
so invested
giants.
In this. Yeah. But you know what I mean, though? It's like you need a good villain also has to resonate. It's not enough to say this person's a bad guy. So I think with Solo, I think I just think they fumbled post-Mania how they did Baby Bloodline. I just think they could have done it in a way that was a little better and a little more dastardly.
Yeah. I think maybe if they got Jacob Fatu in there sooner as
Yeah, Jacob Fatu. Jacob Fatu, man, like you see the way crowds react to him.
Yeah,
they used to react. Actually, Jacob Fatu is like a better version of what Solo was under Roman in the build up. Yeah. Yeah. Because Jacob Fatu just like that dude just looks like he lives it.
Yeah, Jacob Fatu is great. I love
Jacob. He's amazing.
Fatu. Mike Martin in the chat is saying stuff like, say it, Glenn, solo isn't over. And I just want to say to Mike Martin with this, like, it's very easy. A lot of people come to these shows like, this guy's not over or whatever. The point of the show is we're trying to figure out why. Like, what is
WWE has failed to give him the material to get him over. And like, the basic pieces there. Now, if you told me Roman's going to leave for a bit and Solo's going to try and do his own bloodline and it's just going to go off the rails, I would be like, okay, the basics of that, that sounds like a good story.
Yeah.
But it's how you execute it and the way that they did it. I think they added too many members without us getting to really know those members.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that we never really got Solo's motivation.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I also think too, they could have differentiated it a lot by something I think that Jacob Fatu embodies is just that uncontrollable side of what they could bring to the table. Where I think Solo is trying to be too much like I'm like Roman, where instead I think they should be kind of unhinged and just taking people out and being reckless. And especially now that Paul Heyman is not there to keep him in control. I think they should be the younger, like we're not necessarily thinking like businessmen. We're just destroying things and being reckless.
Solo in a suit was a mistake.
Yes. I think he should have been more like what he was on NXT and less like Roman Reigns, where he's more of, I'm the street fighting champion. I'm going to go tear people's heads off. I'm going to beat people up and we're not going to have talks. We're not going to have sit downs in the back. I'm going to come out here. I'm going to mess people up and give it just a different feel instead of trying to be 2.0.
Yeah. Oh, it's interesting. And Jack, we're putting more thought into this than I feel like WWE.
But you know, WWE is good about like once Royal Rumble rolls around, we're going to be like, oh my God, this is the absolute greatest story that they've ever told. They have a way of doing that every time. Last year, we were like, man, Cody should have won the first time. It's too long. Then WrestleMania 40 comes around. This is cinema. It's the greatest.
I know. Well, I mean, what about this promo with KO and Cody and KO really trying to talk about Cody's knee?
Yeah, this was a little clunky. It felt like they both got different notes on what they were supposed to talk about. All this introduces the two. They chat about the WWE Championship. KO's questioning Cody's leg. Cody's talking about whether KO is going to attack Cody. Then they talk about how long ago it's been since KO was champion and that they both had friends that they went through. I assume alluding to Ring of Honor and the Elite and all that kind of stuff. Where I just, like I said, Glenn, I like these guys. I felt like they were both got different notes before the promo, though.
Yeah, this was awkward. They should have edited this because it was taped. Like they should have like said, can we just roll a video package? Do we need to show all of this? Is there any way we could salvage this? It was just awkward. And KO still doesn't seem like it is the weirdest thing to have a dude get a title opportunity and not seem particularly motivated.
Yeah. To win. Yeah. It's weird. And I think what they're trying to get us to tune in for is, cause again, we're not looking to see if Cody's going to lose cause Cody's going to win. It's going to be, will Kevin Owens turn on Cody? But I don't know if I'm that interested in him turning on Cody after the way this has been built up. You know,
and I like that he said out of everyone they turned on, only Kofi is the only one who didn't deserve it. But everyone else deserved it.
I do love that. I actually love that he's like very specific about that. I'm sorry, Kofi.
Yeah, that was great. That was the high point of this promo.
I mean, these guys are great talkers. I don't really know if there's much else to pull from this. I think that this is a matter of them saying, look, we got one more show, but we can't just ignore that this match is happening.
And Kevin Owens' contract is up soon, isn't it?
By the way, where does time go? I feel like we just had these conversations, but it was 3 years ago that we were talking about could he end up going to AEW. But yeah, I believe it's March is what the rumors are saying.
Oh no, according to Daily DDT, December. That should be the story. Is your heart even in this anymore?
Yeah, that's actually a great point. Blur those lines, yeah. Like, you might have one foot out the door.
Yeah.
Real DM Hunk's asking the real questions here. What do you think KO said to Cody?
Your neck tattoo is stupid.
He doesn't have to whisper that. I think that's that's kind of out there. I think we all know. Maybe something will happen at Bash Berlin where I'll go, oh yeah, that was great storytelling. That was cinema, but I don't know. I
like it's all cinema. That was great storytelling. It was like a really good direct to video sequel.
Marine 3 level kind of storytelling.
Marine 3 was okay. I like the one Becky was in. What was that? 6? That was pretty good.
How many? I don't know how many Marines they have.
I think there were 6.
They got a whole platoon at this point. But
yeah, I've seen them all.
Bless you. I don't know what he could have said that would have really made this stick, but we'll see. Giovanni Vinci is someone I'm actually excited to talk to you about because it looks like he's going back to what he was doing on NXT. But if you ask me, it feels better. I don't know. I feel like what they're doing, maybe it's the bigger budget, but
is it? They shot a bunch of stuff in Vegas.
It looks better. Don't
they rented a car?
Well, yeah, I think they do that for every video. I mean, I can see my house from there.
Yeah. Do they have one of Cesaro's old suits they can give him while they're at it? Cause it just feels like a little bit of a retread.
I thought it looked better. Maybe I'm just a big Giovanni Vinci fan and I want to see him do well.
I want to see everyone do well. I'm just like, this doesn't feel inspired.
You're one of these guys that just wants people to lose their jobs, Glenn. Clearly.
Clearly. No, I want him to succeed. I think it's also we're almost in. I know he's debuting what in 2 weeks?
I didn't even notice.
I think it's 2 weeks. Because that's look, dude, here's the rule, man. Like you cannot do more than 2 weeks of vignettes for anyone anymore going forward. The longer the vignettes go on before someone shows up, the more of a letdown it's going to be when they film.
There is some truth to that. Like you do only get, I think you get 2. And then after that, it becomes Veer's coming.
Yeah. Or Emelina.
We'll Andrade versus Carmelo Hayes.
Oh, yeah. So this was like match 4. So they're going to become a tag team at the end of this, right? Like the
is that what you think is going to happen? That seems to be what happens when this kind of stuff happens. Like these long rivalries
happen. A best of 7 in a predetermined sport is dumb.
You're not into it?
Because it's always going to go to 7 because it's predetermined.
Would that be good story if someone just got squashed in a best of 7?
Oh my God, I would love that. If like Melo or Andrade swept this in 4, oh, that would be so great.
You could, and that's when you could do a broke Corbin kind of thing, where bum Corbin, where he loses 4 in a row and then it's just like, oh my God, what happened to me? And then you make both of them go their separate ways. But I dig these two.
Good match. They got in-ring chemistry.
I'm a huge Carmelo Hayes fan, so I am always trying to find ways to see him succeed, even though I have no control over it. But I hope he wins this one. I think this is good for someone like Carmelo Hayes because I think it gets him getting reps in the ring in meaningful matches. But this is also another situation where, on paper, if I told you, Glenn, let's go back a few years ago. Let's go back to 2019. Geez. And I said, hey, Glenn, 2 guys are going to have 4 matches in a row. You're like, ugh, that's going to be so lame. I don't want to see that. That's what these guys did. But I was invested.
Okay. I mean, I think that
you don't believe me.
Carmelo was great in NXT. I think his rivalry with Trick Williams, one of the best NXT has ever done. We'll get a sequel on the main roster when Trick gets the call up, probably next year. He got a bit of a superstar debut, got to challenge Cody, got, you know, all the perks and ways that they try and set somebody up for success. But since then, he's been losing a lot. And so now to do this with Andrade, who also has not set the world on fire, you know, it's a little kind of like it is very Sheamus. It was speed. Yes. That and a dollar will get you on the bus in most major cities. I mean, is anyone watching Speed?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. I like the concept of WWE Speed. But it's like, I mean, I actually think the 24/7 championship had more prestige because at least that was on TV.
I think the speed title, I don't know if this is the right thing, but it could be a very smart move with everyone. Everyone watches TikTok now. You know, that's where our eyeballs are. They WWE might be smart. This might be a long-term play. I don't think they're making tons of money on it right now, but I could see in 10 years when people don't really watch TV anymore that maybe this is the evolution of pro wrestling.
Maybe. But yeah, it was fun. I was excited about the main event.
Real DM Hunk says, WWE speed title on WWEshop.com. Get it before the stock runs out. Let's talk about the main event here.
Yeah.
Mee Jin versus Nia Jax, a street fight. It's a fun one with Tiffy coming out after Jax goes to a table, but she helps Nia Jax, but that's not what Nia Jax sees. Mm-hmm. Bayley comes out to chase off Stratton. Nia gets the win. A lot of fun stuff here, and I will always be a fan of any match that starts with a shopping cart filled with weapons.
Yes. Okay, we need to address this. I've talked about this on the NXT show. I've talked about this on SmackDown. Mia Yim is putting on consistently phenomenal matches. She is wrestling so well. She's making her opponents look great. Mm-hmm. Girl needs some dubs. In NXT, North American Championship ladder match, excellent. The one-on-one match she had after that, excellent. SmackDown,
Jada Parker match?
Yeah. Nobody has better losing matches than Mia Yim. Nobody looks stronger in defeat than Mia Yim. You thought originally, oh, Mia Yim's coming out. They don't have plans for her. It's going to be a squash. She puts on competitive losses, and I do not think she gets enough credit for what an asset she is to the women's roster, and we need to give her a title.
I think she's been doing fantastic. Like, I agree. I was watching this, especially because of the parallels between Jada Parker's the Jada Parker match and now the Nia Jax match, them both being hardcore street fights. Or
power bombing Nia tonight through the table.
Mee Jin is very valuable to them in being able to help people look great. I agree that you're right. I feel like the story also with Tiffany Stratton and the Money in the Bank situation is so fun. They've never done this before with the Money in the Bank briefcase. I'm digging it. I'm digging how they tease, like, oh, could this be the moment? Now, again, we talked about how we knew it wasn't going to be the moment, but I'm loving this story, Glenn. And I want your thoughts on the story, but also, was this the right time to bring back Bayley on a pre-tape show?
Bayley, SummerSlam was like 3 weeks ago. Oh, first time we're seeing her since SummerSlam. Like, dude, like that was not like, this is not like a Roman, like, oh my God, he's been gone since Mania. Like it's been 3 weeks, guys. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. So I love this one. I thought it was a great matchup. I really enjoyed it. Mike Martin saying, Mia, the female Dolph. Dolph's always the example of like when you're great, but you lose too often and I stop believing in you. That's always a fear.
Even if Mia wins and then Tiffany cashes in, like, just give me the one, give me the three count and her with the title for 45 seconds.
I'm going to say something controversial here. If you don't get to keep the title for a week, it shouldn't count as a title reign.
Wow.
It shouldn't count.
Okay.
I feel like it's silly to call people like multi-time champions when they've, you know, like adding another title reign to Drew McIntyre's list because he had the title for 3 minutes shouldn't count. It shouldn't count anymore. Should be they should have a statistic for like, you know, a title reign, but not held long enough to qualify as a reign. I don't know. For some reason, it bothers me. That's my hot take here. You got to have it for a week.
So
we got a big show tonight or tomorrow morning, I guess, for me. And this weekend, let's chat a little bit about Bash in Berlin. Glenn, I ran through these matches on Monday. I gave all my predictions. If you don't want to spoil the show, make sure not to check them out because I always get them right. Sometimes there's an asterisk next to my picks, but they're always 100% right. Let me ask you, what are you looking forward to at Bash in Berlin?
Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley versus Dom and Liv. I think that's gonna be a lot of fun.
How do you think it's gonna go? How would you like to see it turn out?
I think Dom and Liv need the, like, it's gonna be nuclear for Dom and Liv to win, but it's gonna be great.
I just want Dom and Liv to continue to do well in life, like just have a good life together. Not even like I want them to have like successful careers and just everything go well for them going forward. I love Dom and Liv. In fact, it's almost to the point that like I loved Rhea, but now it's almost when I'm like turning on Rhea. I'm like, no, leave this happy family alone. Quit being a home wrecker, Rhea.
No, it's just gonna make it more satisfying when she gets it back. But, I mean, Bianca and Jade are definitely beating Isla and Alba, which would be great. I think that Drew versus Punk could go either way. You know, I think maybe Punk wins this. I mean, there's no title, so I think Punk wins. I think Drew interferes. Maybe Punk challenges. George was saying this. Punk challenges for the NXT Championship on night one on the CW, and Drew calls it.
Oh, that'd be a fun little way to go. But I definitely think Punk is going to win that one because Drew won the last one, and the nature of the match makes it seem like Drew will win because you got to drag your opponent post to post. And that usually means the person who's not equipped to win is going to be the one.
The person who didn't recently dislocate their tricep is probably going to do a better job of dragging their opponent.
Right. So I agree with that, but I'm excited for a lot of those matches. Now, real DM Hunk, by the way, thank you for bringing the receipts. DM Hunk here says,
wow,
never seen Jack get a prediction wrong in the 7 or so years I've known the man. It's true. I have a perfect record with some asterisks. There's asterisks there, but it's a perfect prediction record. Never got one wrong. Okay. You know what I'm looking for? No Mercy coming Sunday. Yeah. I am looking forward to 2. I feel like this is a cheap way out, but I'm picking 2 matches I'm looking forward to the most, and that is Jada Parker versus Roxanne Perez, and that is Oba Femi versus Tony D'Angelo. And the reason why is these two who are currently the champs, Oba Femi and Oba Femi and Jada Parker, these two newcomers, I think are. I throw the word superstar around a lot, but I feel like these two could main event WrestleMania someday. I think they are going to be massive, top of the wrestling industry stars. I am such a big fan of them. My ceiling for them is so high, and this could be the moment for Jada Parker to win that championship, and I think that is a huge deal. And Oba Femi, I actually think this could be, in a good way, the chance for him to lose the championship and then move on to the big one.
Yeah, maybe.
And so how this works out, I'm very curious to see, because those two right now are like my biggest focus on Tuesdays, because I think they are just such absolute stars. What are your takes on them? Do you think that they will be all-time Hall of Famers like I do?
Oba, we talked about gravitas presence. Oba's got all of that. He's got the ferocity even more than Jacob Fatu does. Like, he's so believable. I could see Tony doing something a little underhanded to win. But Oba, if Oba's in that main title picture, like, yeah, Oba could be NXT champ. He could have an Asuka-like run with that championship. So who knows? I mean, that's possible. And I think Jade is great, but I think Roxanne is going to retain and then get the stare down with some NXT newcomers at the end of this match tomorrow.
So when Brock Lesnar debuted, going back a ways, I remember thinking to myself, the problem with Brock Lesnar is I just can't imagine anyone actually beating this guy in a fight. I get the similar kind of vibes like an Oba Femi, where every time, like when he was staring down Tony D'Angelo, I know this is a SmackDown show, but whatever, but when they were in the restaurant this week, staring each other down, I was like, Tony, that's Oba Femi's restaurant now. you got to get out of there. And when Jada Parker slapped the taste out of Roxanne Perez's mouth, I was like, I was telling Flo, like, Roxanne Perez just needs to leave the title on the chair and walk away into the sunset. She needs to just get out of there.
It'll be good. I'm looking forward to this more than Bash in Berlin. That's probably why I'm covering it. But think that's going to be good. I think Wesley and Zach Wentz is going to be a banger. I think does Joe Hendry, does a TNA talent win the NXT championship?
No. Nah, not happening.
But see,
I've taken a stand, Glenn. Okay. You know what? Okay. I'm going to try to cooler heads will prevail.
Okay.
I am an NXT fan, and I do not like these outsiders coming in to my television program, NXT, and trying to take all our championships, Glenn. And I'm not really a fan of Ava being a puppet for these TNAers.
NXT TNA ends with the CW, I suspect.
Oh, you think this partnership is done after that?
Well, if you just got a new hot national time slot, why are you putting a competing promotion on? I think this, in hindsight, is, or as it's happening, not even in hindsight, this is a genius way for them. NXT had a problem with a lot of fifth year and sixth year seniors because they were waiting for the CW and who they want to be showcased when it hits the CW, right? Like after Mello left, Tiffany left, like they had a problem of how do we tell compelling storylines when, you know, no one's graduating. We've got this abundance of talent. NXTNA, brilliant way to open the multiverse and get more eyes on the product. It's been a great summer, but I do think ultimately this comes to an end. But that being said, if they want to go out with a bang, I think they're going to steal a couple talents that they like. And I think Joe Hendry, giving him that title, might be a good way to do that. Look, I mean, Trick is winning that title once we go back to the C-Dub, or once they go to the C-Dub. Mm-hmm. Trick is winning that title back on the CW. So whether it's Joe Hendry or Ethan Page right now, I don't think it matters in the grand scheme. Joe Hendry might pop a bigger rating, honestly.
I got to say, it's not considered stealing talent when they probably would have got the talent one way or the other.
Sure, sure, sure.
But I love TNA. I just like to rally against.
Yeah.
Danny says Jack was apparently on the WCW side during the WCW versus NWO. Oh, how wrong you are. I am NWO for life, baby. Too sweet. I still am NWO because I'm still alive until I die. That's how it's going to be. Can't get married because then I'd have to, that'd be till the day I die. And I said, no, I'm NWO, baby. I can't do it.
Do you think, I need to ask this, Kevin Nash, this at some point. Do you think his use of too sweet was like a modern day play on Jackie Gleason's How Sweet It Is?
I have no idea.
I was watching a thing with Jackie Gleason from 60 Minutes in the 80s. I was remembering Jackie Gleason used to say that, like Kevin Nash doing that, kind of a little similar.
I feel like he's explained it before, but I don't remember why.
Or just one day he was drinking iced tea and went, not too sweet. Oh, that's good. I should use that.
I do know he talked about how he got the nickname Big Sexy. Is that he was just sitting in his house and he thought it'd be so ridiculous to call himself that. And so he did. And then it got over and he's like, okay, I guess I'm Big Sexy.
There you go.
So that does it for us. I'm Jack Big Sexy Farmer. Glenn, before we go, final thoughts on the show, final thoughts on what's coming up this weekend and where can the world find you online?
For a pre-taped wrestling show, tonight was good. I think that, excited for this weekend. Everyone can find me at Glenn Rubenstein. I'll be back here Sunday with Flobo. Mm-hmm. Haven't seen Flobo in a bit. Love working with Flobo.
He's great. He's hanging out in the chat, by the way. He's lurking.
Yeah, he's a lurker. Some people just like to watch, Jack.
Some people do. We call them lurkers.
There you have it.
Cool. And then, you got any other stuff you're working on? Any other shows?
No, I just traveled a bunch. I was in New York. I went to Broadway to the theater. Saw five musicals in 3 days, or five plays in 3 days.
How was it?
It was good. Good time. It was a lot. It was a lot to. I saw three shows on a Saturday.
Is it worth it? Because I've never been to Broadway, I
think
it'd be cool.
It's very impressive. My advice is this: pick one or two shows that you absolutely have to see. Pay whatever you need to pay for those shows. It's going to be a bit, right?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you can get discounted tickets. Find those discounts. But then what I recommend for your downtime is they have the tickets booth. They have Digital Rush Lottery. They have stuff where you can get like 50, 70% off. So sometimes a last minute ticket. So just go hang out in Times Square and then go see what you need to see. And then in between, just go see whatever you can get that sounds even vaguely interesting, because there's nothing like it. And then I went to DC and I went to the Smithsonian. I said this on Tuesday. The only thing close to WWE representation in the Smithsonian is Cyndi Lauper's dress from the cover of She's So Unusual.
Interesting. So but
she's not in the WWE Hall of
Fame. I have a feeling she'll go in soon. Now I wonder why she isn't, though. That's just a weird thing. But
I know
it's case,
weird. I know.
I want to thank everyone who joined us: Jose, Real DM, Hunk, Tut Graff, Stalking You, Little Dog Emojis, Alicia A, Adonde, Goodfella. Thank you guys for coming through. Like, comment, share, subscribe, 5-star review. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. I got my Twitter account back. I was locked out for a while.
How'd you get locked out of Twitter?
This ruffles my feathers. I get the email and it says, "Hey, you." It says you signed in Massachusetts. Is this you? And I said, "No, it's not me." And then it said, "Hey, it says you changed your email address. Is this you?" I said, "No, it's not me." And it said, "Well, we think this looks suspicious. We're just going to lock the account so no one can get it." And I was like, "How do I unlock it?" And they're like, "Well, we'll send a code to this new email address you just gave us." And I was like, what's the point of two-factor identification if you're not going to listen to me when I tell you it wasn't me? And it happened within like 5 minutes. It wasn't like I waited all day to get back to them.
I hear you.
In any case, I got it back. Back good, online. Good. Wasting my life, destroying my brain on Twitter.
I've taken a little break from Twitter lately, and it's been like I look at it still, but I'm just like, I'm just not going to post everything. Because I think, I don't know about you, Jack, I sometimes spend too much time thinking about my posts. Sometimes I edit my posts. Like, I'm like, I write something and I'm like, nah, I could phrase this better. No, this could be funnier. No, this could be this. Like, I invest too much in Twitter.
I just put stupid stuff on Twitter. Mostly it's just talking about shows I'm going to be on, but that's why you should follow me. By the way, did you know I did commentary and ring announcing and interviews for Santino Bros Pro Wrestling last night, where we had an amazing night, Fight Night 14. It's available for free on YouTube if you want to check it out. Really good time there. Title matches and all that good stuff. In fact, Gabe Sapolsky said, make sure to check out the Krusty Krew, the most exciting tag team in the indies. They were there. You got to check it out. Good times there. But otherwise, yeah, just check us out this weekend at Wrestling Inc. For all the latest wrestling news. Glenn, it's a Friday. I'm going to cut this one off now. It was great chatting with you.
Great talking, man. See you soon.
And stream.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.